mercy for each other. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and God, the protection of his cherished treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises alone, that I lose the faith's sweet consolation. Offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when dull and trouble be deep, ere to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 reads this way. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, Lord, as your body of believers, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We do ask you and call upon you, Lord, for the filling and the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you this morning and that we might understand the salvation that you've given to us, or, Lord, that you will give to us if there's one here or more than one that does not have that assurance, simply by putting our faith and trust in what you've done for us when you died on the cross and rose again. Give us a greater understanding of the salvation that you've given for your honor and glory, Lord, and our blessing, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Being Born Again, or What It Means to Be Born Again. And that's important to understand, because being born again does grant us eternal life. That's the first part of it, but it does much more than that. So if you can imagine the sacrificial price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our eternal life was when he offered up his life, didn't he? And he died on the cross and he shed his blood. That is the blood of the Lamb of God that washes away how many of our sins? All of our sins. So that's the important part. So that gives us redemption. But then he rose again. Praise God. Let me try that again. But then he rose again. Praise God. I mean, listen, what do you think they're doing in heaven today? Oh, praise the Lord. No, hey, listen, praise God, the Holy Lamb of God that has granted and given eternal life to all those who would believe. And so we thank the Lord for that. So he rose again, did he not? Amen. What was the purpose of that? Because he lives, we know we also have eternal life. If the Lamb of God simply just stayed in the earth, we wouldn't be assured of the new life, amen? Not only, listen, eternal life, but the new life. Now, I want you to know something here this morning. And that, by the way, is God's will for the life of every believer, this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ for us to enjoy. Now, I want you to know something. It is not my intention ever or my job to guilt you into doing what's right. Shame on you. You ought to forget about that. It's not shame on you. It's don't miss out. That's the message of the gospel. Don't miss out. So let me ask you a question. When you got saved, obviously you understood that you were condemned, right? But you also understood that Jesus paid the price. Isn't that amazing how quick that works? You come under the condemnation of sin. What will I do? Oh yeah, praise God, He died for my sins. And at that moment, you're saved. Amen? You don't have to say a certain thing, although confession is good, right? Lord, we thank you. And that confession is, Lord, you don't have to die for my sins. You did die for my sins, and I thank you for that. That brings us into a relationship with Him. Question, was that salvation that God gave you a chore? Was it a hardship on your part? Did you do anything for it? This is important. This is so important because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is He not?
Amen.
Did He set you free?
Yes. Amen.
Will you ever have to do anything for that freedom? No, because you can't add to the works of God, or we taint the Word of God, amen? We taint the work of God if we touch it. But listen, the same way that He saved us is the same way that He wants to use us for His honor and glory, and that sets us free like unbelievable. Let me ask you this question. When the Apostle Paul got saved, do you remember that? He got knocked off his high horse, right? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think he ever was sorry about being saved? Do you think he enjoyed his salvation? Did he encourage other believers to enjoy his salvation? What did he think about his service to God? Did he think it was a chore? Was it a hardship? There was a struggle, but he wanted to serve the Lord. See, God does not want you to have to serve Him. He wants you and me to want, you and I to want to serve Him. Amen?
Amen.
He wants us to want to serve Him because, man, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He wants us to be excited about our salvation. So Paul got saved. He was excited about it. He just needed to be pointed in the right direction. He was exciting. He was excited about serving the Lord, about growing in the grace of God. And God wants us to have that same excitement. And by the way, all of his achievements. See, we get to looking at, I've done this, you get to looking at people and go, boy, they're so committed to this. How about this? Another title might be How to Stay Out of Trouble. Amen? We'll see that here in just a moment. We look at people and we say, oh, listen, how passionate they are. You ever been passionate about something and it got you into trouble? Amen? You ever got passionate about a discussion and you walked away saying, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. See, God does not want us to be passionate for Him. He wants us to trust Him, to place our trust or our faith in Him. Now, let me ask you this question. There was a little bit of a struggle with Moses and God, was there not? When God was calling him? But listen, before he left Egypt, was he not ready to serve God? He was ready to set, he was ready to set the Hebrews from fighting against each other. He was willing to kill an Egyptian to help free one of his Hebrew brethren, but the problem was he didn't do it the right way. And so he did it in his strength, and so he had to go back out for 40 years in the wilderness, and then God was preparing him to understand the truth the right way. Then there was a little bit of a back and forth with the Lord and Moses, wasn't there? He did turn aside to see that sight. When Moses saw that burning bush that was not consumed, do you think he said, oh my goodness, I got to leave the sheep to go take a look at that? I need to see what this is all about. I'm interested. I want to see. And the Bible says that the Lord saw that Moses looked at the firing bush and came. And so the Lord met Moses there and then told him, I'm going to send you, right? And then you know the story. He was saying, oh, listen, I'm concerned about this. I can't speak very well. I've got some problems. And finally, the back and forth went back and forth to where Moses said, okay, I'm going to go. And remember, the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to send your brother Aaron. He's going to speak for you. If you'll take notice, the first time that Moses and Aaron met with Pharaoh, Pharaoh did address them both. So I'm going to tell you that Moses, you'll see if you look at it, I believe it's Exodus chapter 5, you don't have to go there now, but you will see that Moses was involved in speaking with Pharaoh. He didn't just leave Aaron to do it. Remember, Moses wanted no part of it. He wanted no part of it until Aaron was involved and was the Lord was working in Moses' heart. And you know what? He couldn't keep from him. He couldn't keep himself from getting involved. He was saying, "This is good, amen. This is good." And he chimed in there with Aaron, and Pharaoh addressed them both, Moses and Aaron. So they were both involved. But then the next time that Moses met with Pharaoh, Aaron's not saying a word. Moses is doing all the talking because it got good to Moses. Amen? Listen, do you think Moses ever regretted seeing the working hand of God ever in his life for the people of Israel? All of those things, Moses was excited. Do you think Moses said, "Oh, please, Lord, not another miracle"? Do you think that's what, or do you think, listen, how about the people of Israel as they were getting, they already saw 10 plagues in Egypt, did they not? 10 miracles. And so now Egypt is, the army of Egypt is after the Israelites. They're coming up to the Red Sea. And do you think at that moment they would have said, "Hey, listen, Lord, don't do another miracle. I mean, listen, I know the Egyptians are behind us. I know the Red Sea's in front of us. But listen, I don't know if I can fit you in today. Not another miracle." When God answered with a miracle, tell me, what was the heart and mind of God's people? Were they rejoicing at God's deliverance? Huh? Question. Were any of them passionate to make that happen? Were any of the Israelites, think clearly, were any of the Israelites passionate about serving God so that he would part the Red Sea? The truth is, they didn't know what was going to happen. And I would dare say they never imagined that God was going to part the Red Sea until he parted the Red Sea. Amen. Maybe they thought some evil beast would kill the Egyptians if God was going to. I don't think they thought God is going to part the Red Sea. So what I'm trying to say is God's remedy and mode to supply God's people what they need is not in our thinking, but it is in the mind of God. Now listen very carefully here. This is important. And you might find this hard to believe. God does not need, and God does not want our strength or our help. But he does want to help us. Because if we put our hands to the work of God, all we do is we taint it. And this, listen. Imagine this. God wants to excite you and me to watch the working, wondrous power of God in our lives. Amen. The same way you got saved. You walked away saying, "Praise God." You didn't walk away saying, "Man, thank you, Lord, but boy, you would have never done it without me." And so listen, God does not want any part of our power to do his work. The only thing that we will come up with is maybe some passion. So does God want you and me, this is important, to lay this foundation down before we move forward, or we'll miss what God is trying to say to us. Does God want us independent of him, or does he want us to be dependent on him? He says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you," because if we don't abide in him, what can we do? Nothing. We can't do anything. We won't bear fruit. We must abide in him. So he does use us, but he's doing all the work, not most of it. So let me ask you this. If you've raised children, and we do teach them to work, don't we? That's a good thing to do. But when it comes to the Lord, he doesn't want us to work for him. He wants to work for us. Because he gets all the glory that way. So we teach them, you know, take out the trash, clean up your room when they're very young, and you know, be respectful, all these things. So, and then we teach them, go get a job, right? Make some money, make an income. And then we tell them, of course, through all that process, study and get a good education and be everything that God wants you to be. All those things are good. But here's the question. When are our, we call them dependents, right, on our tax forms? We tell them, so let me ask you this. When are our children the most dependent upon us in their life? Oh, isn't that great? That's exactly right. You know why? What can they do?
Nothing.
All they do is eat, amen, and sleep. And they do things. They're growing. Don't get me wrong. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But listen, God wants us, ready? Listen, when you're born again, this is important. When you're saved, aren't you a babe in Christ? Isn't that what the Bible says? Do you know we are the most dependent upon God when we're brand new Christians? And then all of a sudden we say, I got this, God. No, you don't. No, you don't. And that's why we fail. That's why we, as believers, fail. We love the Lord, but that's why we will fail. And God wants us, more important than anything else, I want you to know, God wants us to be the light of the world to win souls to Him. He does want that in our lives. Amen. We will never be the light of Christ as long as we're doing it in our power, in our strength. You can hand out a gazillion tracts, you can mail them out, you can put up billboards, but that's not what He said. See, He said, I will use my church and be glorified in it, but not His church that is operating with passion. Not His church that is operating in our strength. Amen? But a church that is yielded completely to the power of God. Amen. In us. But we can't, okay, God, I got this now. I mentioned many, many, months ago, maybe years ago, God doesn't take us up to 35,000 feet in the air and then we tell God, okay, Lord, I don't need the plane. I got it from here. No, listen, we need God more as we grow in the grace of God, or we start handling things and looking to ourselves. When you first got saved, you couldn't look anywhere else but to God. And now if we're not careful, we start saying, oh, look what they can do. No. Listen, did Paul ever say, look what I could do? No, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. Listen, and he said, for me to live, to have real life is what? Christ. Right? And then he says, look at the outlook he had. And to die is gain. To die is gain. So God wants us to have this understanding. Why? Why does He want us to have that? Because He does not want us to serve Him in our strength. You know why? This book and our relationship will become dull in a short while. We will start neglecting this because we're seeing this becomes a job. This is no more work than the first day you got saved. The day you got saved. There's only one day. The day you got saved. All right, so let's consider some things here. What does it mean to be born again? Well, the first thing is there's a lively hope. What does that mean? Well, it's a hope, it's a trust, it's a faith in life. Amen? It's a lively hope. And then secondly, there's a call to be holy. Oh boy, close the book, Brother George, I'm done. A call to be holy. It sounds like to me, you want me to do something I know after so many years, I'm not good at. Well, God brings us to that place to know that we're not good at it. So we'll say, Lord, like Paul said in chapter 7 of Romans, I want to do good, but you know what? I don't do it. And you know what? The things I don't want to do, those are the very same things I do. Oh, he came to the end of himself. You know what he said? Oh, Lord, who will deliver me? And then what did he say? The next word, I thank Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God. And then he said in Romans 8, chapter 1, there's no condemnation. Amen. And those that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so when we consider this, God gives us a lively hope. The first day you got saved, was that a great day? Do you know every day can be like that with the Lord? Secondly, there's a call to be holy. And lastly, there's a hope in God. All right? So let me back you up here to verse 1. And let's look at the sanctification in the Spirit. And there's one thing you're going to notice here that's going to be kind of peculiar here. And that is that God is not asking us to do anything. You know what, this morning? Listen, I want you to know something. I am not asking, and God's not asking, and I'm not going to try to make you feel bad. Question, to serve the Lord, did you feel bad when you got saved, or did you feel good? Do you know that God wants us to feel good when we walk with Him? Do you know that God wants us to feel good when we talk to Him? You know, listen, Lord, speak to me. You could say that right now. Lord, speak to me. I want to hear you through your word. That's if you want it. If you believe that God speaks through his word, you can ask right now in your heart, in your mind, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And that's faith, that's trust, because he says, I speak to you through my word. And that's where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. We know these things, but now let's by faith, trusting the Lord, seek these things and watch what God does. All right? So verse 1, we find this sanctification here. He gives a little introduction there in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, listen to this, through sanctification of our effort, our strength, our commitment, our passion. No, the what? So it's his job. Sanctify, in other words, oh, I'm going to separate myself so to be holy. You got it wrong. We got it wrong. I did it. I'm guilty of it, all right? Many years I'm guilty of this, all right? God does not want us to be beaten down people. He wants to build us up. He wants to give us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to put a skip in our step that the world looks at and says, what do you have? What do you have? Well, I've got my commitment. I've got my passion. Oh, my dedication. Let me tell you all that. No, forget it. Nobody wants that. No, God doesn't want that. But God does want to give us his blessing. God wants to give us his power. God wants to fill us with his spirit. So we have to unlearn some things and just back up and consider when anybody ever got it wrong, they were trying to do it for God. That's the way it works. Abraham and Sarah, they tried to do it for God, didn't they? That brought them all kinds of wonderful things, didn't they? No, till this day, Ishmael is still fighting with Israel. You know, and listen, but we all create our own Ishmaels, for the record. I'm thankful for Abraham and Sarah, and I'm thankful for God's faithfulness and truthfulness to put that in the scripture so that I can learn. Listen, Peter, I pick on him and I use him all the time because he gives me so much hope. Amen? Because I can be worse than Peter, amen, in the flesh. question, have you ever done this? You got so passionate about something, and I know I just asked this just a moment ago, but I want you to personalize it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put yourself, because of your passion, and said, I wished I didn't say what I said? I went overboard. And you know, you meant well. We can do that with our kids. You mean well, and the approach is not the right way. And so think about what he's saying here. He says, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Listen. Unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What part of that is our effort? What part of that is on you and me? Not a single bit of it. It's all, listen, imagine this. God wants to wow you with his power. You know why? Because he wants us to call upon him to work his work in our lives. He doesn't want us just to put on this kind of a smile. I'm happy in Jesus, and you're not. God wants, listen, if it comes from within, when you are rejoicing from within, you can't help it. And you can't stop it. You can't help it and you can't stop it. But if it's on you and you do it, I promise you, you won't keep it. It's not real. Well, let me just say this. It's not from God. We're manufacturing it. So this is the work of God. So notice what he says here. He says, grace, listen, because of the sanctification of the Spirit, because you are the elect by the foreknowledge of God, because of the obedience that promoted. Question, when you got saved, were you excited enough to tell people about it? Listen, I was doing neuroconduction studies in hospitals. Electroencephalograms. I was doing these. And I did not know the Romans Road. I was just reading the Bible. That was an amazing thing for me. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. And I would look at these patients and I say, you know, I just want to tell you something. I was not a believer in God, but God gave me eternal life and it completely changed my outlook. I know I've got eternal life. I know there's a life to come and God is merciful. He was merciful to me. He can be merciful to you. And I would just, that's all. I didn't even know how to tell him how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you think I thought for a moment, listen, I could lose my job? I did. Because, you know, even back in the late 80s, religion was not popular. When I say religion, faith in Christ, faith in God was not popular. And yet, you know what? I couldn't help but I would see somebody and I'd say, these people, they're not going to die right today, but these people are going to leave this world one day. And I dare say, because many of them were older, they have already gone. And Lord, I've got to tell them. I didn't have to tell them. I've got to tell them about what you did for me. And you know what? I had the right kind of passion. And then somebody got a hold of me and said, this is what you have to do and this is what you don't have to do. And all of a sudden, the Bible completely changed for me. Not in a good way. Now you have to go to church. Now you have to pray. You should, or you're a lousy, good-for-nothing Christian. You're a liability to the cause of Christ. Please, pray tell me, where does that say that anywhere in the Bible? In fact, you tell me where God demands to be served anywhere in the Bible. Now, he is holy and righteous and worthy of our worship. But he does not demand it. Or none of us would be here today because we failed the Lord. I even had somebody tell me this. A fellow I still respect till this day. Had a lot in my growth. Yeah, you go out scuba diving on a Sunday, don't be surprised if you don't meet a shark and get you. Really? So you know what? I never went scuba diving on Sunday. Because I did fear God. Amen. And you're the man of God. You're telling me this. I believe you. You know more about Jesus than I do. But who was I fearing? I was fearing the shark, amen. And I was being bamboozled into obedience. But that's not. Listen, nobody had to bamboozle me. In fact, nobody gets bamboozled into believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But oh, God can put a fire in our hearts. I think we call that revival, to where we can't get enough of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you want what God can give you personally? Would you like God? Do you think God has more than what you have already in him to have? Do you think God can give you something that will put a joy in your spirit and in your heart that you will be compelled to tell people about the Lord? Not that you have to do it or that you should do it, but boy, he can become so real in our lives that he will change us. See, listen, here's what God wants us to do. Ready? For every believer, God wants us to look at ourselves and him in the Lord. He wants us to look and see who we are in God and who God wants us to be in him, completely dependent upon him. Lord, I can't. Listen, Solomon, remember what he said? Lord, I don't know how to come out. I don't know how to go out and I don't know how to come in. Sounds like an infant to me. Lord, I don't know what to do. Sounds like somebody that is completely going to be dependent on God. And what did God say? Because you didn't ask for this, that, make me strong, make me mighty, make me... No, Lord. I don't know how to do it. Do you know what would happen to God's people if we as individuals said, Lord, concerning my walk with you, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to do it, Lord. Because I want it to. Do you think, listen, just to yourself, do you think God intended more than what you have right now in your relationship with him for you to have? I think so. Question, do you think God wants us to be the light of the world, the light to the world, in a more powerful way than it is today? Do you think God at least wants the church, specifically Northwood Baptist Church, specifically the person sitting in your seat, do you think God wants that person to have more of what God promised and to be more of what we have today? Do you think he wants it to even be more or at least as much as the first century church at Pentecost? We got to start right there. And that you can't do it and I can't do it, but God can. And here's the wonderful news, God wants to. And that will change our whole relationship with the Lord. So let's look at what he has here. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to who? His abundant mercy. Hath begotten us, listen, again, unto a lively hope. Would the world know we have a lively hope? Let's just be honest. Would the world, how about this? The day you got saved, did anybody know you had a lively hope? Man, I don't even know how to tell you. I told all my lost friends that I grew up with about the Lord. I couldn't wait to tell them. Man, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And here's what I was met with. Oh, you're one of them now. But no. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Oh, I'm not interested. No, you don't understand. I'm not talking about religion. No, it looks like you're a fanatical Christian now. No. Listen, eternity hangs in the balance. And Christ saved my soul. Not a one of them bought it. But you know what they said? They said, I see something different in you. Let's see how long it lasts. Next year, you'll be the old George again. Well, I want to tell you something. Since my salvation, I have maybe failed the Lord, but I've never wanted what the world had for me again. And you know what? I attribute that to the glory of God. He changed my whole outlook on what life was about. He wants to do that for all of us. So listen, he's begotten us again because of his abundant mercy there in verse 3 unto a lively hope. How? Listen. We know what the purpose of the cross was, and his shedding his blood was for our redemption. But notice what he says here. Look at this lively hope. By the cross of Jesus Christ? Is that what your Bible says? Where does this lively hope come from? By what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the new life in Christ. God wants to give that to us. Please don't misunderstand me. God is not wanting us to be more committed to him. God does not even want us to be passionate for him. God just wants us to seek him, and he will reveal himself. It wasn't Moses' passion that brought him into Egypt again. It wasn't Moses' passion to lead the people of God out of Egypt. It had grown. He was reluctant at the beginning. Do you think he was reluctant as he followed the Lord? Do you think he was excited about what God was doing? Did his face shine with the glory of God? Is your God the same yesterday, today, and forever? He is. So again, we have this lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, that means you got to wait till you get to heaven. Then you get all that. No. You're going to see that in just a moment. Ready? So look at this verse 4. And we won't finish this morning, but I do want you to see this. Have we been given an inheritance there in verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled? Don't forget this part, and that fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. But wait a minute. He's still speaking. I do believe that's a comma. at the end of verse 4. Who are kept. Are you kept? Isn't that good? To be kept? Well, what does that mean? Well, if I tell you, you know, I need a vehicle. My car's not working. And you say, well, I'll loan you mine as long as you keep it and return it to me like you found it, like you got it. And I crash it and run it into things and mistreat it and bring it back to you. And I say, there it is. I kept it. It's in one piece. It's all banged up. And you would say, well, I don't think that's the idea that I meant when I said keep it. Amen. But it's still running. Let me ask you this question. How smart would it be? And by the way, is that how we want to present? Is this how God expects to receive us, all beat up and banged up? Did he give us something new and said, keep it? Not by our power, but by his. Let me ask you a question. How wise would it be? Let's just say somebody who is good at business and they have whatever business it is, and they've got five children, and this individual wants to save up an inheritance for his children, and he works so hard making tens of thousands of dollars, right? Tens of thousands of dollars, but he does not keep his children for the inheritance. He just lets them run wild. Do whatever you want. What will become of that inheritance? Go ahead, do what you want. I don't have time to take care of you. I'm not going to keep you. You can just be influenced by the world. You can get involved in all this kind of licentious living. You can hang out with the wrong kinds of people. But I'm gonna save you up an inheritance. Would you say that person's not very wise? Because if you're going to work hard to leave them an inheritance, do you think it might be a wise thing to teach them what to do with that inheritance, how to live with that inheritance? To not just ruin that inheritance? Wouldn't that be the wise thing? Do you think your God and my God and your Savior and my Savior is a wise God? Do you think he provided the way? Now, whether we follow it, that's another thing. But do you think he provided the way for you and me to walk in the inheritance that he's given to us in a way that would honor and glorify him? Let me just say this. Do you think he provided the power and the want to keep his inheritance? That was his intention. Now again, please, I want to say it again. This is not to guilt us to try harder, but to look to the only one that can perform what he has promised. Isn't that in the Bible? That he is faithful to perform that which he has promised. Did you hear that? That he is faithful to perform what he promised. The only thing that's on our part is to believe what he has promised. That he can perform it. Not us. Lord, I cannot manufacture the joy of my salvation. Can you? Can you? I can't manufacture that. It's not going to impress anybody if I do. So notice what he says here. Verse 4 again. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen to this. Who are kept. We're kept, right? We talked about that. How? By the power of God. Did you see that? Listen. You and I, when are we kept? Right now. You're not going to need to be kept in heaven. You're going to have everything of Christ at that particular time. But before that time, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, he's speaking to believers here. Through faith or through trust. Can we use that word trust for faith? Lord, I'm going to trust you in what? In what you've promised to perform for me. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So when we stand before the Lord, this is going to be accomplished on this side of eternity. Not when we get there. Notice this. Look what he says here. Wherein you greatly rejoice. You've got the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. But, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Question, did the Apostle Paul have the joy of the Lord? Did he also have the trials of God? Question again, did he have the joy of the Lord? But he did have the trials of life. You know what we do? Let me back up. Do you know what our flesh says? Well, if I'm right with God, why is all this happening? Because God's proving us where our trust is at and what this life is going to do or what he's promised. And so, you know what Paul said? Listen to this. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul didn't just get it. He learned it. This is important. Listen, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, your trust, being much more precious, this is how God sees it, than gold. This is Peter that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Remember, he was the one that told the Lord, no, you can't go to the cross. Listen, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that means God is wanting to do that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. God is wanting to perform that on this side of eternity so that when we stand before God, he's glorified in our lives. Amen. Is that the truth or am I making that up? Is that the truth or am I trying to make you feel bad into doing something for God? Listen, here's what I'm saying clearly. I am telling us to stop trying to do anything for God. I am telling us what the Bible is telling us and to call upon God to do it all. Not most of it. All of it. Is that not what God is saying for us to do? Am I creating a new doctrine? Am I asking us to do something that God has not promised? Listen. This is the ingredients. This is the recipe. This is the direction for revival in God's church. You know why? Because it's God's word, not mine. Listen. I would have never come up with this. Let me just tell you what I would have done. I would have said, bless God, let me break out the list they broke out for me. Do this. Don't do this. That is every religion under the sun except for the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ says, I will do all the work because we can't. That is the gospel of Christ. Listen, that is freedom. That's liberty. That is a wonderful message. So he says this, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What God wants us to have on this side, that it would glorify the Lord, and he's not done yet. Whom having not seen, that's us, ye love. Amen? Is that the truth? We love the Lord. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We won't do that unless God's doing that in us. I know you love the Lord, but are we rejoicing in the Lord by the Spirit of God? That's what God wants us to do. Here, listen, you love the Lord and I love the Lord, and so did Peter before the resurrection. That's not the life God wants us to have. God brought Peter through a chain of events as God is bringing us. And when we see, remember, Peter was so full of himself. Remember this, listen. Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. They're going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Question, where was Peter's confidence? Where? No. When he said that? In himself. What does God think about self? It's the flesh. That which is of flesh is what? Flesh. That which is of the Spirit is what? Can't mix. We can't mix it. And so when he went out and he wept bitterly, do you know why? Because he thought he had the strength to love God the way God wanted him to love him. He didn't have it. Neither do we. And then finally, he thought God was done with him. There's no doubt in my mind. That's why when the Lord resurrected, he said, tell the disciples and Peter also. He called him by name. You know why the Lord did that? He knew Peter needed that. And the Lord knew his plan for Peter. Listen, the Lord knows his plan for you and I. He does. If we'll have it. One more verse. In fact, don't forget joy unspeakable and full of glory in verse 8. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What is he talking about? These are saved people. That word soul can also be rendered your life. Your life here on earth. Now again, please don't misunderstand me. Listen, the Lord is not wanting us to be passionate for him. He's wanting us to seek him. The Lord is not asking us to be zealous for him. He's asking us to call upon him to fulfill that which he promised for you and me, for you and I. One more verse. Look at verse 10. Of which salvation the Old Testament prophets, it says the prophets, have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching, listen, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, this is the work of God in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow of his resurrection in the life of the believer. We're not going to finish it now, but I want you to understand something. This is the word. That's what it means to be born again. And it's not a natural thing, because what happens is we're babes in Christ, and as all the disciples were as well, and then they became independent of the Lord, thinking, because I love God, this is what I'm going to do for God. And God says, you can't do it that way. In fact, listen, God won't bless it that way. Question, don't answer this. Has God blessed your effort? That means you read your Bible more than you ever have. That means you tell people about Jesus more than you ever have. That means you read your Bible and you call upon him. You spend more time in prayer than ever before. And I'm not talking about driving in the car, and that does count. But I'm saying you've got a place like Daniel did. You've got a place like the Lord did. You've got a place like Job did. And you got alone with God and you called. Is that what's happening in your life? And if not, tell the Lord, there's a problem with me. And until we do that, God's not going to move. Now, that's what God... Listen, and I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just saying, God is saying, here's what he says, ready? Follow me. Your choice. Follow me. He's not saying shame on you. You know what he's saying? Boy, I've laid all this out for you for the asking. I've laid out all my blessings. But here's the problem. You don't believe me. You don't trust me that I'll do it. You don't trust me. You'd rather trust yourself. And that's why you'll be committed to whatever it is that you're committed to. And that's why you don't read more. And that's why you don't pray more. And that's why you don't tell more people about me. I'm not trying to... Listen... This is not a guilt trip, because if you do it because you think doing that more is going to make you more right with God, forget about it. And here's the truth, ready? You won't last long. Go ahead, start something for God in your power, and tell me next year if you're still doing it, and to a greater degree, you won't, and I won't either. But if God is in on it, you see the difference? If God... The only thing we ought to feel bad about is missing what God has promised to give us already. Wait, to miss what God has promised that he'll perform for us. We can watch him do it. Now, this is the real message this morning concerning what it means to be born again. And again, what's the question? Do we want it? Do we want it? The Lord gives us the opportunity, and the choice, as always, is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds. I pray that even right where we stand, we, Lord, your people, would say, oh, Lord, I'm afraid I've not called upon you in a while. I've not understood, Lord, what you want to do. And Lord, I've not really seen this greatly rejoicing. I've not really seen this resurrected life the way that it is revealed to me in your word. And Lord, I'm no doubt in my mind, you are faithful and true. That's who you are. And Lord, I'm afraid to say I put more faith and more time in the things that are slipping away that are temporal instead of seeking you to perform that which you've promised. Lord, I'm not coming to rededicate my life in the sense of being more committed to you. Lord, I believe what you tell us in your word is that we might call upon you to perform that which we could never do that you've promised to each and every one. And Lord, only you can speak to us to call upon you to do that. Lord, I'm convinced it's your will that nobody be guilted into doing this. But Lord, may you create a desire in our hearts and minds to call upon you because you are faithful and true to perform it. Bless your people, Lord. Bless your word this morning that we've heard in our hearts and minds, that it would not just stay here, but that we would meditate and think about this, Lord, every day, what you've given to us concerning eternal life. May you receive all the honor and glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.